Turex clusters unraveled as Rafe's fake transmissions, supposedly from their Ansible-equipped companions, sent them to coordinates where they had only light-speed communications until they could jump back. Kai's force inflicted more damage than it took, but every ship lost was a larger fraction of her total force. Admiral Pajan's Space Force contingent had saved them for a time, and Kai wondered in a fleeting moment what her former Academy classmates thought of her command, but even they were wearing down. More and more volume of space filled with deadly debris, the remains of blown and damaged ships and platforms, weapons that had missed their targets. Kai's scan showed expanding and overlapping red zones, where only the most powerful of shields might allow a ship to go. Still, they were gaining. She had no accurate count of Turek's fleet now, but she felt a lessening of the pressure, a softening of the attacks, as more and more of his ships simply vanished. But even the heavy cruisers were down to less than 50% of their munitions load. Her own people must feel as worn as she felt. Then the Moscow fleet, small but fresh, and all supplied with the latest Ansible improvements, jumped in just as a contingent of Mackenzie ships came in on the far side of the primary.
Admiral Varda, this is Admiral Pollock. Moscow Defense, sorry we're delayed. What are your orders?
Kai's pulse quickened. She felt a burst of renewed energy. Her mind raced, putting together the current situation with the new assets, new possibilities.
Glad you're here.
Admiral, the Mackenzie commander wants to speak with you.
I'll squirt you the current integrated situation report. I'm patching into the Mackenzie commander so you'll both get this. Please switch to channel 43.
All that time spent making contingency plans was about to pay off.
Mackenzie's here? Oh, yes.
Admiral Pollock must have taken a look at the situation squirt. Kai welcomed the Mackenzie commander, Colonel Baxter. Then Pollock came in on the same channel.
Colonel Baxter, you need to jump into a one-hour lag. We can feed you real-time data there through Ansible. How many of your ships are Ansible-equipped?
About 10.
Mackenzie had sent 50, far more than she'd expected.
Excellent. Half your ships above the ecliptic, half below. You're the cat by the mouse hole escaping mice want to reach. They'll need to see you in panic.
And our ships?
Bloodblade is Turek's ship. Built on Moray, new, only hit once that we know of, and we can't tell how much, if any, damage. It's still maneuverable. Go after that. His escort ships include another Moray-built heavy cruiser and several Bissonette-built. You should also know we have someone on their channel giving them false reports and orders.
A spy?
Sort of. When Turek's people notice you, I expect more will flee. Some may be decoys. Pursue at will, but if they jump, they might be jumping back here, so don't lose contact. His Bissonette and Moray ships, and maybe others, have that precision. However, we don't want his fleet to escape and reform.
Kai was watching the holo simulator as she spoke, and already some of the Moray units seemed to be withdrawing, breaking off attacks to move away from the conflict zone as the Moscow and Mackenzie forces jumped in closer.
They're starting more general withdrawal. Colonel Baxter, I'm switching you to channel 42. My contact will be relaying any change in orders, but basically, go get him.
Suddenly, a burst of chatter came from the pirate channel, and the enemy ships all broke off and fled, jumping immediately if they could, wherever they were, or making abortive attempts. Scan showed the characteristic flutter of damaged FTL units or incomplete shield formation that would prevent up-transition. Bloodblade itself did not jump. Its emissions flared, died, flared again. Turek had only 3 escorts left. 2 had fled. And Kai felt a surge of savage glee. He couldn't run, and she had plenty of firepower to deal with 3 enemy ships, no matter how powerful. He was hers.
He can wait. Get all the other cripples. Let the bastard watch his so-called empire go up in flames. And by then, some of the mess in there will have cleared out. Then I want him myself.
Vanguard 2 stayed out of the chase. Moscow Defense and Mackenzie ships, the freshest, picked off the other ships in Turek's force that could not make jump, while Kai stretched, closed her eyes for a few seconds. She told the CCC crew to take a break. Most of them stood up, stretching.
He's broadcasting, and Bloodblade's changed course.
The CCC crew were back at their stations in an instant. Kai punched in for General Ansible transmission and also enlarged the scan screen for Turek's ship. His maroon and black uniform was rumpled. His eyes red-rimmed. His left eyelid twitched.
He stared at the video pickup for a long moment.
You think you've won, bitch? I know you're watching and you'll see this later. I don't care. You ever won? I won. Your family's dead. You haven't saved Nexus or anyone you care about down there. You can't stop me now.
He was heading for Nexus 2 itself, and Kai had no doubt he was heading for its capital, for ISE's headquarters. Three of Moray's heavy cruisers coming in like old-fashioned planetary weapons. They could vaporize the city and surrounding territory, just as an impact of that much mass at that velocity. They could do worse if he sent off all his remaining munitions to collide with the planet. She had to blow him before he did, if he hadn't already.
Argelos! Pettigrew!
They had been with her from the first. They deserved a chance at the final kill, and she knew exactly how fast they could react. Turek expected this, she was sure, expected her to come dashing in, and had something planned. But she was all Admiral now, not the rash Kai of her first encounters, nor the uncertain Kai of the flight from defeat. She could outthink Turek. She had been doing that all along. She gave her orders crisply, and in moments the ships she'd chosen appeared where she'd ordered. Ahead of Bloodblade, Argelos in Shara's Gift 2, painting a swath with his stern beam that detonated the cloud of weapons and debris Turek had sent toward the planet, then jumping a quarter second to blast Turek's escort. Pettigrew in Bassoon, much smaller than the others engaged, drew fire from Turek's second escort, distracting it until the Moray crude Bannockburn poured enough ordnance into it, and it blew messily, debris impacting Bloodblade's shields until they flared a little.
Power zippy there.
So I see. Two down, one...
But the third escort accelerated away from Bloodblade and jumped abruptly, just escaping a fusillade from another of the Moray cruisers, Mameluk.
Now we attack. The rest of you, give us the first shot, then join in.
Vanguard 2 launched its remaining missiles. Then the beam stabbed out, first sparkling on Bloodblade's shields, then flaring them. Kai punched in to transmit on Turek's own channel, using visual at her end.
You haven't won. You're dead, I'm alive. Slaughter Key is alive. Vada is alive. And we will remember you only as an unpleasant interlude in our long and very successful history.
You can't do this to me!
It's blown! It's gone! Turek's gone!
Kai knew the cheers in Vanguard 2's CCC were being echoed throughout the ship, in other ships. She felt a visceral surge of glee, almost as powerful as when she had killed Osman. She had done it. She had avenged her family. She had saved many others. Kai's moment of jubilation faded over the next hours as exhaustion rolled back over her, and the damage Turek had inflicted became clear. Ships had blown or taken damage. Crew had died or suffered injury. The death toll on Ansible platforms, on Nexus 2's ruined main orbital station, continued to rise as search and rescue teams went to work. And they had not destroyed every one of the enemy. They might have fled in disorder, but they'd fled in whole ships, with weapons and Ansibles. Bissonnette and other systems were still, as far as anyone knew, in enemy hands. She knew she had to let her people celebrate, but she also had to get them thinking about the future. But not now. Now she could rest for a while, knowing what she had accomplished, knowing she had earned the rank she now held. Admiral Vada signed out of the CCC and made her way back to her quarters through the passages lined with applauding crew.